GPT-5.6 dropped this week, and with a score of 1,332 on HN, the highest in today's feed, and nearly 1,000 comments, this is clearly the model release the developer community most wanted to discuss. I want to get into what's actually different here, Sarah, because OpenAI has been releasing point updates with some regularity, and it can be hard to track what each one actually moves.
The key distinction with 5.6 appears to be reasoning density under constraint. Earlier GPT-5 variants were powerful, but somewhat verbose in their chain of thought. They'd work through problems thoroughly, but sometimes at the cost of latency and token efficiency. The 5.6 update seems to compress that reasoning into fewer steps while maintaining accuracy, which matters a lot for production deployments where you're paying per token and need responses in milliseconds, not seconds. The HN comments thread is full of developers doing their own benchmarks against their specific use cases, and the results are notably more consistent than previous releases.
What strikes me from a business perspective is the competitive timing. We also have Meta's Muse Spark 1.1 in today's feed. That's Meta's multimodal creative model, and it's now available through the Meta Model API. The fact that we're covering two significant model releases in a single day tells you something about the current pace. These aren't separated by months anymore. They're separated by weeks, sometimes days. The competitive pressure across the major labs has compressed iteration cycles dramatically.
Muse Spark is interesting for a different reason than GPT-5.6. It's purpose-built for creative generation, image, video, interactive content, rather than being a general-purpose reasoning model. Meta positioning it through an API suggests they're targeting the developer as customer model rather than competing primarily as a consumer product. The HN discussion on Muse Spark 1.1 is notably more measured than the GPT-5.6 thread, 189 comments versus 924, which reflects the community's perception that reasoning capability matters more to their workflows than creative generation, at least right now.
Now let's talk about the EPFL story, because this is genuinely one of the more thought-provoking pieces in today's feed, even though it got fewer points than the model releases. The Nevo project at EPFL is using AI-generated videos designed specifically to maximally activate target brain regions. The idea is to use the generative capability of modern AI, its ability to synthesize images and video along arbitrary axes, to probe neuroscience questions that were previously impossible to study because researchers were limited to natural stimuli.
This is a significant methodological advance. Traditionally, neuroscience experiments showing visual stimuli to subjects are limited by what exists in the real world or can be photographed. If you want to understand what features of a face maximally drive the fusiform face area, you're constrained by the faces that exist. With AI generation, you can synthesize stimuli that move along precise dimensions, slightly more symmetric, slightly different luminance, different spatial frequency, and use the brain's response as a reward signal to generate the optimal stimulus. It's essentially using neural feedback to guide generative AI toward what a specific part of the brain responds to most strongly.
The HN comments on this one are fascinating. There's a contingent of neuroscientists pointing out methodological concerns, whether the stimuli optimize for the measurement instrument rather than the underlying neuroscience. And there's another contingent of AI researchers who find the feedback loop architecture compelling independent of the neuroscience application. The intersection of generative AI and brain-computer interfaces is an area that's moving faster than most policy frameworks can track.
Rounding out the AI hardware picture, the Apple Silicon exec interview about Mac Mini. AI demand is a story that reinforces a thesis we've discussed before. There is real market appetite for on-device AI inference that doesn't require sending data to a remote server. The Mac Mini, with its unified memory architecture, is turning out to be a surprisingly effective platform for running mid-size language models locally. The exec interview references sustained demand that Apple apparently didn't fully anticipate, which is an interesting admission from a company that usually manages supply chains with extraordinary precision.
There's also a localism story embedded here. Running AI locally means your data never leaves your hardware, which is particularly relevant in the post-chat control discussion we just had. If European users want to use AI tools without their conversations being potentially subject to scanning, local inference becomes more attractive, not just for privacy reasons, but as a structural architecture choice. The Mac Mini's positioning as a capable local AI machine might benefit from exactly this dynamic.
And we should mention the GLM5.2 project. Show HN getting GLM5.2 running on my slow computer, which earns 720 points. This is about making capable language models accessible on modest hardware. And the GitHub project, linked, called Calibri, appears to be a set of optimizations and quantization techniques that get GLM running on hardware that would normally struggle with it. The HN community has a strong democratization ethos and projects that make powerful tools accessible without requiring expensive cloud compute or expensive local hardware consistently resonate.